Support for this podcast and the following message come from Humana. Employees are the heartbeat of your business. That's why Humana offers group dental, vision, life, and disability plans designed to protect them. Exceptional service, broad networks, and modern benefits. That's the power of human care.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The White House is considering possible executive action to address the flow of migrants at the southern border. As NPR's Tamara Keith explains, it came up in a meeting the president had with a bipartisan group of governors.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox, a Republican, said Biden and his aides didn't get into specifics about the actions they're considering, but did say they are looking at their options after House Republicans rejected a bipartisan border deal negotiated in the U.S. Senate.
He did say that he has been working with his attorneys, trying to understand what executive action would be upheld in the courts and would be constitutional. And that he seemed a little frustrated that he was not getting answers from attorneys that felt he could take the kind of actions that he wanted to.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre insists no decisions have been made. Tamara Keith, NPR News, The White House.
A new report finds five of the world's biggest oil companies have collectively made more than $250 billion in profits since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. NPR's Nathan Rott reports the release of that figure coincides with the two-year anniversary of the conflict.
The analysis from the nonprofit Global Witness looked at earnings reports from Shell, Exxon, BP, Chevron, and Total Energies over the last 2 years and found they earned $281 billion in profits over that time. The boon, driven by higher prices and turmoil in the oil market after Russia's full-scale invasion, paid off big for shareholders, too, who saw $200 billion in dividends and stock buybacks. All of this comes as the world deals with soaring temperatures and worsening natural disasters, climate change driven predominantly by the burning of fossil fuels. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
Washington, D.C.'s public radio station WAMU is laying off 15 people and closing its local news site, DCist. NPR's David Folkenflik reports the station's leaders say it's part of a renewed focus on audio.
WAMU's chief executive, Erica Pulley-Hayes, told staffers that some positions for audio specialists and producers will be added and that the station intends to start a new local radio show and to expand political coverage throughout D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. She says the audience has not been as loyal to the DCist brand as WAMU itself. That said, numerous laid-off staffers said they did reporting in audio and digital platforms alike, including podcasts. Jen White, host of the WAMU-based show 1A, posted on X that she was heartbroken, writing, quote, "The steady loss of local coverage is devastating for communities and our democracy." The WAMU cuts follow a year of media layoffs across the country, including in public radio, newspapers, and digital outlets, all at a time when other sectors of the economy are humming along at a healthy clip. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
Stocks mostly higher at week's end. The Dow was up 62 points. This is NPR. For decades, the Hugo Awards have honored the best in science fiction literature, but now the prestigious award is facing controversy over potential nominees being flagged for their political beliefs. NPR's Andrew Limbong has more.
The Hugo Awards are run by the World Science Fiction Convention, and the host city last year was Chengdu, China. After the winners were announced, there were authors missing from the long list who many fans figured were shoo-ins for at least a nomination. Diane Lacey was part of the Hugo Awards committee that year, and she recently leaked emails showing she was asked by Hugo administrator Dave McCarty to scan the English language nominees for potential red flags.
Mentions of Tibet, Taiwan, anything that would be seen as a problem in China.
McCarty has since stepped down from his role as Hugo administrator, and organizers for this year's awards to be held this summer in Glasgow are vowing more transparency to regain trust among fans. Andrew Limbong, NPR News.
While plenty of people work from home, one unintended consequence of that is that in rare instances, proprietary information could be at risk. That's apparently what happened in the case of a Houston couple, where a man has pleaded guilty to trading on insider information from his wife's business conversations. Officials say 42-year-old Tyler Loudon heard his wife, a mergers and acquisitions specialist at energy giant BP, discussing plans by the company to acquire a truck stop and travel firm. They say Loudon made an estimated $1.7 million in illegal trading profits. He faces up to 5 years in prison. Crude oil futures prices closed lower today, oil down $2.04 a barrel to $76.57 a barrel. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Planet Oat. No deep thinking here. Planet Oat oat milk is rich, creamy, and an excellent source of calcium with vitamins A and D. Also, Planet Oat's unsweetened varieties have 0 grams of sugar. Visit planetoat.com for more.